And get rolling here. We have a new series, short series for Christmas. And if you haven't caught the drift of it, it has to do with the gift. Now, if you're with me on this, I've noticed that when it comes to Christmas, we're all about the tree. And we're also all about getting the right Christmas gifts, right, underneath the tree. So we make sure that we have our list of all the gifts. Our kids have written their gifts and their gift list and given it to us. And so we go and scurry around trying to find the right presents, make sure we have enough presents. You know, all the kids have to be treated equally, you know. Make sure we spend the right amount on everyone. And then we don't want to miss anyone, so we send gifts to even people that are kind of maybe sort of related or those distant folks, because we're in the whole season of giving, right? So we give. Now, I'm not opposed to giving. I don't want you to get me wrong. If you have something you want to give me for Christmas, I'll gladly accept it. So I like that whole giving aspect of it. However, if I understand the Christmas story and what the Bible says about it correctly, Christmas isn't so much about giving. It's really more about receiving, right? God has given us this incredible gift in Jesus Christ, and it's this present that's been given to us, and what we're supposed to do is receive it. For some reason, sometimes we think that we're supposed to give and give and give to God, and we forget that it's really about receiving. A couple of verses, Romans 6:23, we used this verse a few weeks ago. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That's not Romans 6:23. Romans 6:23 is, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. God has given us a gift. Here's another one you're probably more familiar with, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish, but have eternal life. Now, it's kind of interesting how God has got the tag going that he is a distant God, that he's a God that demands stuff from us, that he is maybe upset with us, that we have to prove stuff to him, and that God isn't a giver. But if I understand these verses and what the Bible points to, God appears to be a pretty generous God, a giving God. And so what we're going to do for the next couple weeks, today, next Sunday, and then on Christmas Eve, is we're going to take a look at how to receive the gift that God has given us. Because Christmas, in fact, is about receiving. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we dive into your word this morning, I pray that, first of all, you would give me your words to say, that the Bible and the thoughts and the things that I put down and put in my mind would be communicated clearly, but that they wouldn't be mine, that they would be yours. And I pray that for all of our hearts to be open, to receive your word, and to change. We desperately want to change. We desperately want to grow. We desperately want to be different. And I pray that you would help us receive this gift and live it out. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So this morning, I'm going to take a little bit of time, and I'm going to help you receive God's gift this morning. And to do that, I want to introduce you to Mary, and we'll talk about her in just a little bit. But there's a key truth or a key principle I want you to grasp this morning. Okay? If you're going to get this whole idea about receiving a gift, you have to get this. This is really, really important. To truly receive a gift from anyone, you have to believe that the giver knows what's best for you. Let me say it again. To truly receive a gift, whether it's from God or your aunt, or your brother, your sister, to truly receive a gift, you have to believe that the giver knows what's best for you. Let me give you a couple examples. The first Christmas that Susie and I were husband and wife, she caught me off guard. I opened up this big package, and it was Iowa Hawkeye winter coat. I didn't see this coming. I tore it open, looked at it, I'm like, oh, you shouldn't have. This is awesome. This is the best gift. And what I realized that morning is that I'd married well. Okay? That was the big thing. I married very well. But I also realized and was able to receive that gift because my wife, Susie, knew what was best for me. And I continued to wear that jacket. In fact, I wore it to the Iowa Penn State game, so it's now a lucky jacket as well. So it's a good jacket. So what I learned in that whole exchange was that Susie knew what was best for me. Let me tell you another one. When I turned 20, my mom gave me a strange Christmas gift. It was a grooming kit. All right. I know, I had the same response. Thanks, Mom. And I zipped it open, and inside there was these two different types of clippers, toenail clippers, and then there was these real short, squatty scissors. that had, you know, kind of blunt ends on them. I'm like, what are these, Mom? You know, because I'm 20. I don't groom. You know, I just wake up and throw something on. I don't. Oh, those are for nose hairs. What? What are you talking? Nose, Mom, come on. So I have to admit, at that point, I greatly questioned whether or not my mom knew what was best for me. Fast forward to when I turned 25. I remember walking into the bathroom one morning to do my daily grooming routine, and there protruding out of one of my noses, or my nostrils, was a hair. Now, I know this is more information than you want to hear from the preacher this morning, but quite frankly, once we get comfortable with our bodies, we just need to share this stuff, all right? Because it's going to happen to you, whether you like it or not. Every one of you are going to find things growing where they're not supposed to be growing, okay? I'm just telling you that. So 25, I have this hair growing in this place I wasn't too excited about. But I did remember that my mom gave me a kit that was a grooming kit and had those little scissors in it. Perfect. So I dug around, I found them, I pulled them out, and I got that pesky little hair. The thing is that grooming kit has been a loyal companion and a good friend to me over the years, because from 25 on, the hairs just keep on coming. They don't stop. And the brows, they turn into like these caterpillars doing war up on your forehead. You got a trim there. And I know this is more information, but they keep poking out your ear. Why do hairs grow on ears? Can anyone tell me that? I don't get it. So when I was 20, I didn't think my mom knew what was best for me. But when I turned 25, and then when I turned 30, that's when it goes downhill. Just, you know, 30. I knew that my mom knew what was best for me. And finally, when I was 25, I was able to receive that gift because I believed that she knew what was best for me. And that's really the whole basis of what we're talking about when it comes to receiving the good gift that God has given us, is trusting that He and He alone knows what's best for us. Let me introduce you to Mary. We all know Mary's story. If you have your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 1. We're going to hang out there for a little bit. And Mary understood this whole idea about that God knows what's best for her. But I want to look at her story this morning. Let me give you a little background. God is going to use Mary to give His gift of Jesus to the world. And in Luke 1, we read earlier about how God is going to send one to prepare a way for Jesus. His name is John the Baptist. And John the Baptist has kind of a cool entrance into the world as well. God uses a fairly old couple, not in their 70s, to become pregnant. And they just happen to be related to Mary. Elizabeth does. And so we pick up Mary's story in the sixth month of Elizabeth's story. So Elizabeth's been pregnant for 6 months, going to give birth to John the Baptist. And so we pick up in John 1:26 with Mary's story. So here we go. Now I'm going to stop and go as we kind of go through this story just to give you a little commentary. But hopefully we'll get through all this. Luke 1:26. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. Let me just stop there for a moment. What we learn about Mary here quite early on is that she was engaged to be married. Now, their engagements are a lot different than ours. They didn't get to choose. They were pledged usually by their parents. Sometimes it would be the groom. Joseph would go and seek out and make a covenant relationship with some parents with a girl. But more than likely, Mary and Joseph were pledged by their parents. And Mary was probably about 15 years old. Joseph was between 20 and 25 years old. And so they had agreed on this relationship. Parents had agreed. They had set a bride price, a dowry. And they had entered into a covenant relationship. Even though they weren't officially married, this engagement was more than just a ring and a date. This was a relationship. But they didn't live together. They didn't speak to one another. They had no relations at all. No physical, because the Bible makes very clear that Mary was a virgin. Okay, but they were in a very close relationship with each other, even though they lived in separate villages. So close was this relationship that if Joseph were to die, Mary would be considered a widow. Okay, so very close relationship. But this is something that Mary had dreamed about her entire life. Every young Jewish girl dreamed about being married, about having a big family, about the wedding day. I mean, just like all of you ladies that have been engaged, are engaged, have been married, you dream about your wedding day from when you're really little. And she's dreaming of it. She's planning it, getting everything in ready, getting everything ready for this big day and this great new life that she's going to have. She has the man of her dreams. Everything is working perfectly. Let's keep going. Verse 28. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Now, I don't know about you, but those are words I would love to hear. The fact that I find great favor, that God finds great favor in me, that'd be a great thing, wouldn't you think? And that God's going to be with me, I'd love to hear those things. Not so much with Mary. Listen to how she responds. Verse 29, Mary was greatly troubled at these words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God." There's that favor thing. She's found favor with God. He thinks highly of her for some reason. Found favor with God. Verse 31, "You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." Wow. Now that's pretty cool. That Mary would be a part of God's plan, and that this baby that she's going to have would be powerful, the Son of the Most High, that his kingdom will never end. This is pretty cool. But my guess is Mary didn't even hear those words. Mary is stuck back on the very first word that the angel said, "You will be with child." What? In fact, I'm sure that just echoed through her mind. "You will be with child." How? How will I be with child? I'm not going to break my relationship with Joseph. I'm not going to go cheat on him. I'm not going to go have sex before we are married. I'm not going to do any of this stuff. How am I going to be with child? Her mind, her world is spinning as she hears these words. She doesn't even hear the rest of what the angel says because she keeps hearing this word, this phrase, "You will be with child." How do we know this? Look at the first words that leave her lips. Verse 34, how will this be? I'm not going to cheat, Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." How is this going to happen? Are you nuts? Are you crazy? This isn't going to happen. Listen to what the angel says. The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she was said to be barren, is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." So the angel essentially is saying, "Okay, Mary, I know this is going to sound weird, this is going to sound crazy, we're not asking you to do anything sinful, but the truth is, the Holy Spirit is going to come upon you, and you're going to become pregnant. And I know that sounds crazy, but remember, nothing's impossible with God. Look what he's done with Elizabeth. She's fairly old, and she's going to have a baby. Nothing is impossible, but what God is going to do is take life and put it into your womb, and this fetus is going to be a special fetus. This one's going to be God. And skin." Now listen to how Mary responds. Mary says in verse 38, "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her. If I was to make a top 10 list of some of the most powerful statements in the entire Bible, that would make it. Mary says, "May it be to me as you have said." Do you understand what she was saying? To agree to this, she would have to answer all the questions that were going to start coming out. Her mom, Mary. Looks like you're showing there. What's happening? Are you pregnant? Yeah, I'm pregnant. Well, how are you pregnant? God? Right, you're pregnant by God. Joseph. Mary, what's going on? You're showing, you're getting... I'm pregnant. How? By God. Right. Right. And can you just hear the townspeople begin to talk behind her back? She risked possible death. In Deuteronomy, it said that anyone that was caught in adultery, which this would be kind of suspicious, could be dragged out and charged with adultery and then stoned to death. Now, if she was fortunate, her husband would just divorce her. But divorce was a lot different than it is now. She'd be left on her own, no family, no friends, a single mom, no one to take care of. Most women that are divorced end up in prostitution because there's no other way for them to make a living. So here, Mary hears these words. She's terrified in her heart. And yet she utters these incredible words. May it be to me as you have said. Wow. Now why was Mary able to utter those words? Because she believed that God knew what was best for her. She understood that this gift, this thing that God was doing, even though it didn't make a whole lot of sense to her, she believed and she knew that God knew what's best for her. So she put her faith in God, and that no matter what was going to happen, she was fine with that gift because she trusted that God had her best interest at heart. Very interesting, isn't it? But see, that's the same issue that you and I are at play with right now when it comes to our relationship with God and how we receive this gift God has given us. Is do we really truly believe that God knows what's best for us? Do we have faith in that? Let's take a look at what that looks like. Because sometimes ministers, they start throwing around all these great superlatives and all these great ideas and concepts. And you're kind of left thinking, okay, how does this work in my life? Because my life is really day to day, you know, minute by minute. How does this work, okay, in my life? Well, first of all, let's talk about sin. Because if in reading the Bible, I've kind of discovered this gift was given to us because of sin. You and I have rebelled against God. The world's rebelled against God. We're sinners. There's this issue of sin. And so God gave us this free gift of Jesus to deal with sin. But if God gave us this gift of sin, why do we keep struggling with sin? Why is sin such a huge issue in all of our lives? Even if you're a Christian, why do you keep struggling with this whole issue of sin? I'll tell you why. It's really simple. Because you don't believe God's serious. It's true. You don't believe that God is serious about Jesus. You don't. Because if you did, it would change how you respond to sin. But see, most of us continue with our sin to-do list. In other words, we try to figure out how we can do more good things than we do do sinful things. And so we're trying to manage our sin and control our sin. And there's that part of us that says, I'm still boss. I'm still going to call the shots. I'm still going to deal with this sin. And so we do our 12-step programs. We make sure that, and this is just a thought. I wonder if we're so focused on giving because of the sin in our life. Have you ever thought about that? If maybe we try to be really good people and give lots of great gifts because we know that there's a sin issue in our life and we're trying to fix that by giving, when maybe the real issue at play is our failure to receive. Just a thought. But as we pour our lives into managing our sin and fixing our own sin, we get really frustrated and we get drugged down and the guilt and the shame begins to pile up and I'm like, what in the world's going on? I remember back when I was doing youth ministry in Quincy, Illinois, there was a young man by the name of Chris who had turned 16 and he was really, really close to making a decision to follow Jesus Christ. And it was just a few days before we were to go on a Christ in Youth conference and with all the teens. And we're really getting everything geared up to go. And Chris and I were out in the churchyard changing the church sign, which is one of the things we did. And so we were out changing the church sign. And I said to Chris, Chris, you know, where are you with Jesus? How close? You know, what do you believe about him? What's going on? And he looked at me and he said, Tom, I'm really close. I'm really close to making a decision for him. I said, great, well, what's going on? He said, there's just a couple things in my life I need to fix. I need to straighten up. And I said, whoa, hold on. Say that again. There's some things that I need to get straightened out in my life I need to fix. I said, Chris, do you understand what you're saying? What you're saying is that you're sick and you need to get better before you go to the doctor. Are you listening to me? And he's like, oh, I've never thought of it that way. I said, you never thought about that way. That's what the Bible's about. You don't fix it and then go to Jesus. Just a few days later, we were at CIY and they offered this invitation. Chris went forward, and they had a time where they gave a microphone to different people to kind of tell their story, tell their testimony. And Chris took the microphone, and he said, you know, I'm here because I believe in Jesus. And I believe that I can't do it myself, that I need him to fix my life. I'm like, yeah, that's it. That's it. He believes. He understands that Jesus can fix the issue, the sin in his life. And just a few hours later, we were able to baptize him in Jesus Christ. And it was the coolest moment to see him take that step and finally believe, to finally get it. But Chris is like you and I. I mean, we still keep going back to this whole idea that we can manage and control our sin. But the gift that God has given us is found only in believing in Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 is a great reminder of this. Paul writes to the church in Ephesus, and he says this: "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." Now, I don't know what sins, what issues are just meddling in your life right now, and how you're dealing with them, but let me tell you how to deal with them. Don't. Believe that God does know what's best for your life, and accept Jesus. Let Him do the cleanup job in your life. Now, some of you are saying, okay, I believe in Jesus. I've allowed Him to forgive me of my sins, okay? I've done that. But there's that part of me still that is missing out on this whole thing that Jesus promised. I'm like, well, what thing did Jesus promise? Well, remember what Jesus said in John 10:10? I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Sometimes the translation says, I have come that they may have an abundant life. And some Christians say, abundant life. What I have abundantly is I have an abundance of problems, an abundance of bills, an abundance of issues in my life. I thought this whole Christian thing would be a whole lot different than what it is. Because right now I'm confused, I'm frustrated, and I wish God would lead and direct my life, because right now things aren't going so well. Sound familiar? Sound like your life? If that's the case, then how is this whole receiving God's gift, what does that have to do with any of this? I'll tell you what has to do with it. It's really easy to say, Jesus, I need you as my Savior, but it's sometimes more difficult to say, God, I believe that you know what's best for my life. And so while I want the Savior, I still want to call the shots in my life. Sound familiar? So think about some of the relationships you've gotten yourself into. God said, you know, you probably shouldn't be in that relationship. But you said, you know, I don't care what that person does. I don't care who they are. I'm lonely. I need a relationship. So you dive into some relationships that get you deep, deep into trouble. And you make horrible choices. And you think, what have I done? It's because you thought you knew what was best for your life. Financially, we make some horrible choices because we're pretty convinced that happiness is going to come from what we buy, what we own, what we possess. And so we pursue all these situations in our life, whether it's our house, our car, our boat, our clothes, you know, the computer, whatever it is. We think that these things are going to give us fulfillment and happiness, and yet they don't. And we say, God, why don't you give us? Why don't you do this? But what we've done is we've said, God, I know what's best for my life. I'm not going to receive your gift. I'm going to call the shot. Here's another one. What about like your career, what you invest your life in? Maybe you're a mom and you've decided to have this big family, and you know, family is what life is all about for you. Or maybe you're pursuing a career or a job or an education, and you're fairly convinced that if you do this one occupation, if you do this job, if you get this degree, that everything's going to work out great, and that your life is going to be fulfilled, and everything's going to make sense. How's that going right now? It's good to ask this question during finals, isn't it? Because you're like, yeah, I'm having lots of doubts right now about what's going on in my life. Finals can do that. But all of us have these moments in life where we wonder, why am I doing this? I mean, as a parent sometimes, you think, you know, is my whole life about being a parent? Because you see some of the things that happen with your kids, and you think you're a failure as a parent, and it can get really frustrating. But that's because you've made your family your God, your Lord. So really the bottom line in all of this is that if you want to figure out this gift that God has given you and embrace it and receive it, you have to step back and say, I believe, God, that you know what's best for my life. Proverbs 3:5 says, trust in the Lord, or put faith in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, and all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. To receive the gift means that things aren't necessarily going to be easy, but they're going to make sense. They're going to be straightforward. You're going to know where you're going. You're going to know what you're going to do. Now, I know some of you are thinking this. You're thinking, okay, Tom, I'm gonna take your advice. I'm gonna take God's word at what it says, and I'm gonna trust that God knows what's best for my life. But if He knows what's best for my life, Tom, that may mean that I may end up as a missionary in Papua New Guinea translating the Bible to the people of Papua New Guinea. I'm like, yeah, that may happen. You're saying, if I trust God, that He knows what's best for my life, I may end up giving a ton of money away to maybe the church, to missions, to some organization that's helping people in need. I may give all kinds of money away. God may want me to do that. I'm like, yeah, He may. He very well may. Maybe you're thinking, you know, if I allow God to be Lord of my life, He may want me to get out of some relationships I'm in right now with people that are bad influences on me. Maybe it's a relationship with a boyfriend or a girlfriend that has just gotten out of control and you don't even know what the relationship is based on, but God told you not to get in the first place. Like, what am I doing? God may do that. Or maybe maybe if you surrender to God's will and say, God, you know what's best, you may say, Tom, I might end up in the men's restroom on my hands and knees cleaning toilets. That may happen. That may happen. But what about Mary? What about her life? She didn't see what God wanted her to do. She didn't understand how that made sense. All she knew was she faced rejection and pain, possible death, a lot of confusion. And yet she said, God, you know what is best for my life. If we're truly going to receive all the things that God has given us, this free gift, it starts when we make this choice to understand that He does know. He does know very well what you need, and He knows what's best for your life. One day, a guy was out walking along a kind of a mountainous region, and as he was walking, he got too close to a cliff, and he slipped off when he fell. And as he was falling off, he was able to reach up and grab with his hands a branch, a kind of scraggly tree that was sticking out of the cliff. And so he latched onto it, and he kind of made light of the situation here. What's going on? He looked down, and he saw he was still a long ways down from the bottom, and at the bottom were all these rocks, and they looked pretty jagged and rough. And he looked up, and, oh, man, it was a sheer cliff up to the top of the cliff. And he knew that he was in a desperate situation. So as he's hanging there, he decides that he has to pray. And it's not some eloquent, wordy prayer. He just yells out, God, if you're up there, help me. There's a little bit of silence, but then from the heavens he hears this voice. My son, I'm here. I'm here to help you. What do you need? He said, God, I need your help. I'm in a desperate situation. Please help me. And the voice said, yes, I will help you. But do you trust me? And the man said, yes, Lord. I believe in you and I trust you. What do you want me to do? He said, no. Do you really trust me? And the man said, yes, Lord, I trust you. Whatever you want me to do, I will do it. And the voice said, I want you to let go of the tree. And the man looked back down and saw the jagged rocks below. And he looked up and saw the steep cliff. Realizing his situation, he looked back up and said, is there anyone else up there? You and I are in the same exact situation right now. Exactly. And we have two choices. We can A, let go of the tree branch, knowing full well that God knows what's best for our life, and trust Him and receive His gift. Or we can B, ask for someone else. And if you really want to see this gift this Christmas, if you want to receive Jesus and all the things that He has for you, I hope that you choose option A. Because as you believe, you will receive. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I ask that for everyone here in this room, that we would make a cognitive, clear decision this morning to accept this gift of Jesus. If it's someone here that's never put their faith in Jesus to allow Him to forgive them of their sins and give them new life, Father, I pray that they would do that this morning, because there's nothing better than to enter into a Christmas season knowing that we know Jesus. And Father, for those of us who have struggled and kind of muddled through Christianity, muddled through life, trying to call our own shots, I pray that we would receive the gift this morning by submitting to you, trusting that you have the plan for our life, that you will lead us, that you will direct us, that we just need to follow. Father, lead us and direct us in these moments, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.